This episode of iRem Today is brought to you by RentPath, digital marketing solutions for the rental industry. Call a marketing professional locally at 401-297-5316 or visit them online at rentpath.com. RentPath, take the most powerful path.
Now on AM 790, it's time for iRem Today, the property management show with hosts Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian. Join them now for this live call-in show to discuss property management issues and hear from guests from all trades and programs discussing your real estate needs. Here's your hosts, Dina and Chrissy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to iRem Today, the property management show here on AM 790. Today is February 7th. It's Tuesday, and it's not so nice of a day today, but I'm sure it's better than last week, at least. I'm Chrissy Denalian.
It could be worse.
That is not Dina Cimarelli, but I do have a special guest co-host, Ron Serpa. He's with Pacern Real Estate Group. Say hello, Ron.
Chrissy, thank you for having me. Hello. It's great to be here with you, and I'm excited to talk about the different topics that we have
today. Yes, we have some real nice topics to talk about, non-smoking policies.
Yes, I have a lot of experience.
Which you have had, especially over the past year, and we'll be talking about some hoarding issues.
Yeah, different non-compliance issues that we all deal with in the business, and just different tactics and techniques that, you know, certainly we at Pacern have incorporated that I've found to be helpful over the years, and some other, you know, little tricks and techniques that managers might implement to not only be fair but also reasonable and kind of navigate that path of holding the resident accountable, but at the same time being fair.
I think that those are very important things to talk about, especially because this is iRem Today. And what is iRem? iRem is the Institute of Real Estate Management. So we are the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of properties. There are a lot of fun syndicated programs on this radio station. However, we're not one of them, but we are fun. We're just not syndicated. We are live in the studio every Tuesday, and we talk all things property management. And in case you were listening for the first time and you weren't sure of what this radio show is, we do talk about everything that concerns with property management. So if you manage an elderly housing building or a single family home or maybe a tenement building, the Institute of Real Estate Management is for you. If you're looking for a career in property management, or maybe you're looking for something different and you want to have some kind of training or some kind of education or even a designation, the Institute of Real Estate Management offers two designations, one being the ARM, which, what does that stand for?
That is the Accredited Residential Manager.
Yes, and I'm actually an ARM. We've talked about this a few times. I received my ARM, I believe it was last year.
Yes.
Yeah. Or 2 years.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Last year. I think.
Yeah.
Last year.
You breezed right through.
I know. It's like, I can't remember how long it's been. And we offer the second designation, which is a CPM. Which,
yes.
What does that stand for?
CPM is the Certified Property Manager designation.
Yes.
It's really the, I guess you could say, the pinnacle of the different designations that IRM has to offer. So it's a really comprehensive program. I think those who have gone through it would agree that it kind of covers most of the bases that you'll need to be a comprehensive property manager.
Yes. Jack Bentz, whenever he's in the studio, he likes to say that the CPM is the equivalent to a degree from Harvard. It is the creme de la creme of all designations.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because when I did the CPM a few years ago, there were some folks that were very new to the industry, and, you know, I could tell that they were a little bit nervous, and you know, going through it with them, at the end of the day, they all agreed that this was really great because it did focus on all of the different elements or key elements of the job. A little bit of marketing, a little bit of maintenance, certainly a little bit of financial management, and it helped them to walk away with a well-rounded,
What did it help you with, Ron?
You know, for me, it's interesting because I began the CPM process having been in the industry already for some time. I think it was about 10 years or maybe even 11 years that I was already.
So you're already pro at that
well,
point.
You know, it's, you can always learn, but, you know, certainly having some experience, you know, coming into it, I had real life experience. So the thing that I really liked about the CPM was how it kind of brought everything together. I did like the flexible nature of the courses that were offered. You know, first and foremost, there's ethics, which is obviously one of the most important things in our industry, is to have good business ethics.
Right. They even offer that now. You have to take that class as part of the ARM package now too, where before it wasn't a part of that. We've talked, actually, it was Cara Nero's favorite class, she said, the ethics class, because she thought that it was most beneficial for her because it's not so clear and concise. She was given examples and how to use them in everyday
life. Yeah, the thing I liked
life.
About ethics too, and again, if you've been in the business for a while, my takeaway was, okay, back to basics. You know, a lot of people might say, oh, ethics, that's common sense. But the reality is, when you've been in any industry for a period of time, you get comfortable, you might get a little complacent, and you may end up doing something
that you might not
unethical,
even,
and you didn't even realize that you were doing that. So it's kind of like a way to remind you of why we're in this business to begin with, and that's to provide good, safe, quality homes and to treat people fairly and equally. So I think the ethics is a really good way to kind of kick off the whole CPM series and say, look, you know, don't forget the fundamentals of why you're even in this business.
Right. And I think you had mentioned when we were at commercial right before we started that the financial aspect was probably the most influential for you because they gave you certain scenarios and
Again, I mean, at the time in my career when I did the CPM, you know, having been a property manager for some years, the most of my experience was operationally in the field, you know, in the office on the properties. So I chose to do the marketing and the maintenance coursework online at a self-paced class rather than in a classroom setting, which I thought was great.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they offer that. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah,
actually,
at the time it was offered.
I haven't done the CPM yet, so maybe I'm just ignorant to it, I guess.
I mean, I imagine that it's still offered
probably
that way. It was a few years ago when I did it, and I thought that was great because it was, you know, at my own pace. You know, download the course material ahead of time, and you can really kind of go through it. So, you know, because obviously we spent a lot of time in leasing and marketing on the conventional side of the business, you know, I felt like I had a pretty good handle on that. So I felt comfortable taking it on my own. And the same thing with maintenance, you know, having been in the business a while and dealt with some renovations of buildings and whatnot, I felt like the maintenance was something I could also do on my own. However, the financial coursework, that was definitely something that I was excited to learn more about, you know, determining property values, you know, the owner's return on investment, all these different concepts that don't necessarily get explained to you if you're coming out of, let's say, you know, just a sales environment,
a
or if you're moving up the ranks
right
from leasing into assistant management. You didn't necessarily go to business school for these concepts, or maybe you did. But in my situation, again, coming from a sales background, I felt as though the financial coursework might be a bit more challenging, so I chose to take those in a classroom setting, and I'm certainly glad I did because there was other students in the room. We were working collaboratively together, you know, working through the different scenarios and the different formulas and whatnot. I definitely took a lot from that. And so for me, it was great to have that kind of hybrid approach toward the CPM to get it done.
That's wonderful. I love to always hear about everybody's different experiences through the ARM and CPM because I think that they're really important classes, especially if you're pursuing a career in real estate management. I think that, you know, most of the basics from most of those classes you use probably on a daily basis for the ARM, at least anyway. I know that when I was taking my classes, it was a lot easier for me to take those classes because I've already had the experience, but there were certain things that we went through that maybe, you know, we don't actually dive into on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. And even, you know, one of the most useful practical tools that I took out of the CPM to the site was the rent comp grids, really working with my different markets. At one point I was traveling out of state and I would bring that rent comp tool down to my different markets and explain how you can effectively, you know, survey your area and make adjustments and get to a true market comparable rather than just something that a lot of times our leasing people or managers come up with based on their own preconceived notions about a market. This is a really useful tool that you learn in the CPM that you can take with you and really apply practically.
That's wonderful. So if you are interested in taking any of the ARM classes or CPM classes, you can go on our website, iramri.org, and you can even contact our association executive. She basically handles everything. Her name's Karen Cuddle, and you can reach her at 401-479-7734. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the non-smoking issue, the non-smoking policy that we've implemented in some of our subsidized properties. We'll be right back right after this. You're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show. All right, it is 4:18 here on IREM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Danalian, along with my guest co-host, Ron Serpa from Pacern Real Estate Group.
Yes, thank you for having me, Chrissy.
Yes, we are live here in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5. And I forgot to mention before, if you have any questions for Ron about possibly his non-smoking policy that we've implemented over on our subsidized sites, you can always give us a call here in the studio. Locally, we are 437-5000, or you can call us toll-free at 1-888-345-0790. So recently, Ron, you've decided to roll out a non-smoking policy. What was the reasoning behind this decision?
So, Chrissy, you may know, you know, in the industry, this is definitely a hot topic. It's been something that's been coming down the pipeline for many companies throughout the country.
Yes.
And really what that stems from, you know, is the HUD guidance that's coming out there. Really, HUD has been leaning in that direction and really pushing this agenda for many years, but really so, more so since 2009, 2010, when they really started to kind of get the message out to the local public housing authorities and then different private property management companies that a no-smoking policy would be advisable. And the writing was on the wall that this is something that HUD is going to be implementing and mandating at some point. So really, again, beginning in 2009, 2010, again in 2012, the rollout of no-smoking programs in public housing authorities has increased dramatically. In 2014, HUD took a really big step and they published a tool called Changes in the Air, which is basically a publication that they listed for property management professionals to take a look at, and it would help them to devise their no-smoking rollout. It's a really useful tool that I definitely read through very thoroughly. It helped us to develop our own internal policy, which was reasonable, and it certainly gave me a lot of tips, tricks, and tools. And I think we had a really
like
successful rollout.
Like the IREM website, tips, tricks, and tools. We like to talk about that a lot.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's important, though. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Really, whether you're dealing with HUD or if you're just a, you know, private property management company with market rate communities, you need to speak with your owner, your senior management. You need to develop a policy that works for your organization. It's really not a great idea to just take a blanket policy that someone else has written, tailored it to their communities, and then apply that across the board. Certainly, you can get some guidance and really develop your own.
Yeah,
for sure.
Every situation, every property is different. Every property management company is different. And so it's great that you're also explaining that it's not a blanket solution.
Exactly. So, you know, again, just to talk a little bit about the HUD guidance, I work closely with our subsidized developments, our project-based Section 8, both family and elderly and disabled communities. But of course, so we're in tune with HUD guidance. Everything that comes out from HUD, we have to pay close attention to and make sure that we're always in compliance. So just to kind of further the HUD guidance with regards to no smoking, just late in 2016, HUD issued another guidance that basically said that the public housing authorities must implement a no smoking policy.
So now it's really coming.
It's coming. It's coming
down the pipeline.
Sure. So one of the things that we did was we developed a policy, and we also developed a plan for rolling out the policy. And we wanted to give the residents ample notice, and we also wanted to give them a really great explanation as to why we were doing this. So one of the first things that we did was put together a training presentation for our staff. The staff needed to be on board, and they needed to understand why we were doing this. And obviously, the effects of secondhand smoke are well known. They're well documented, and most people know about this. So what we did with for the purposes of our staff was just to reiterate the core reasons why we were going no smoking, because we wanted to improve the overall air quality in our buildings. And also, we saw the writing on the wall. We don't want to be the last ones at the party.
Right.
We didn't want to put ourselves in a situation where we had a lot of smokers fleeing from their communities that had gone smoke-free
and come to yours,
and coming to ours, where we would now have an uptick in the amount of smoke in the building. So for us, it felt like the timing was right, and we rolled our plan out in 2016. So really getting the staff on board so that they knew exactly what the expectation was.
And that way they were trained properly.
Yes.
And that way they were able to implement violations if necessary.
For sure. They had to have a very clear criteria of how they were going to respond to violations. They also had to know exactly how they were going to deal with complaints that came in. It wasn't just going to be, oh, a complaint comes in and right off the bat, automatically someone is going to get a violation notice. There has to be some due diligence because, you know, we did feel as though some folks might use this as an opportunity to just grind an axe or target a neighbor that maybe they have a conflict with. So we put a lot of thought into how these issues would be resolved and dealt with. But the first thing that we did with regards to the resident was we scheduled for each of our communities several different question and answer sessions. And I really feel as though this helped to soften the blow rather than just sending out a letter saying, hey, too bad, so sad, on such and such a date, you're no longer allowed to smoke in our building. We invited people to our community rooms where we explained our position. We explained that it was a decision that our company made at this time, and that while we believe that ultimately HUD would be mandating this, we didn't want to make it seem like we were blaming HUD.
And we wanted to take ownership of it as well.
And we felt as though people would respect us for that, and even those that were upset by the decision would have to at least respect our honesty and our, you know, forthcomingness toward that issue. So we invited people together. We explained, you know, even despite your best efforts of trying to seal up any cracks and crevices and you know, vacant spaces between apartments, the reality is, and anyone who's in the business knows, you can't keep the smoke from traveling between apartments. It's a futile effort. So really, the only way to do it is to eliminate it from the buildings. So we invited residents to our community rooms. I went to every single meeting at every single community, so that way the property managers knew that they had the support of senior management.
That is very important.
They weren't going it alone, and that it was going to be a team effort right from the bat. So we explained the timelines to the residents and how it was going to unfold and when their expectation would be implemented. And for us, we chose 50 feet away from the buildings. Now, many management companies are choosing a different distance from the buildings, or perhaps they're just choosing to go campus-free with smoke-free.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be a little bit more reasonable than that because, you know, if someone's out on the property walking their dog and they're far away from the building,
they shouldn't have the smoke around their dog, Ron.
Well, I understand. But, I mean, you know, you also have to apply some practicality
to it.
And are you really... It has to be enforceable. So if we're going to have it in our policy that you can't smoke anywhere on our property, I mean, it's just almost to the point where it was going to be too difficult to enforce. And we already knew that it was going to be hard to enforce to begin with, which is some of the bigger challenges that we have.
So they have little smoking huts, is that?
Well, that's what we chose to do in our organization. And thankfully, we had the support of our owners and our you know, senior management. We were able to build it into our budgets. We did actually construct in very convenient locations that were, you know, outside of the 50-foot rule, covered shelters for the residents to go. So that way we wanted to give them every reason to comply. So that way when we are dealing with a situation of noncompliance,
they're not still sneaking smoke in their apartment. And it is reasonable for them to walk, you know, the 50 or, you know, go to the 50 feet away and still be covered.
Exactly. Now, some of the HUD guidance has said maybe 25 feet from the building. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where your policy is going to come into play and what's important to your organization. We did choose the 50 feet for our local portfolio here. But again, that was just a business decision that we made. So basically, you know, we rolled it out. We went live on April 1st of 2016. And one of the things that we did, and I think that this was really helpful, was in the 3 or so months leading up to the rollout date, we asked all of the property managers and maintenance supervisors of the various communities to do a 100% unit inspection. And we developed a little form where we would be able to document whether or not there was pre-existing evidence of smoking in the unit. It wasn't necessarily to identify where we had to spend money today, but it was twofold. It was to kind of put it on our radar to see what units we were going to want to eventually get in and refresh with a repaint or maybe change the flooring or what have you. But also it was a way to protect the residents against future complaints and also to help management identify future violators.
Right.
So we would go in and let's say there was some discoloration on the wall. We would grade it. Maybe it was, you know, moderate, significant, severe, extreme. We would apply a rating to that wall damage or the odor or the flooring damage. That way we could easily say to that person a year later, hey, listen, we believe you're still violating. When we were in your apartment early on in 2016, the damage was mild or moderate. Now it's something much more than that. It's just something to help you to justify whether or not you're actually going to pursue a violation with that resident. It gives you a little bit more credibility, a little bit more professionalism, and that you've actually taken some time and provided some thought to this issue.
So what do you think has been the most challenging part of going smoke-free?
So there's been a few real challenges since we've gone smoke-free. I would say most people want to comply. I would say probably 70 to 80% compliance, if not more. Of course, there's always going to be the few that don't. The more challenging part has been actually coming up with what we believe is the evidence that we would need to pursue legal action if it rises to that point. So the frustration between neighbors when someone feels as though their neighbor's violating, but yet as management, you don't necessarily have the evidence that you might feel comfortable to bring them before a judge.
Right.
So that's probably been one of the more challenging things.
Right. We're going to talk a little more about this and a little about maybe some hoarding cases or non-compliance issues. You're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show. We'll be right back right after this. All right, it is 4:33 here on IREM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my guest co-host, Ron Serpa.
Hello.
We're live in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. And in case you're tuning in right now and you're wondering, what is IREM? IREM stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management. We are the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of properties. We're here to provide you with the tools, training, and tips you need to best run your property. I encourage you all to go online and visit our website on iremri.org. And if you're in the business or if you're looking to make a career change, and me and Ron can both attest to this, if you're looking for a career change where it's different every single day.
For sure. And property management is for you.
Yes. It gets you out of the house. It is definitely Institute of Real Estate Management is definitely here for that. A lot of people who get into the property management industry really make it a lifelong career. I mean, I know I've seen a couple of different property managers skip from property managers to maybe the advertising side to back to property management. So it is definitely a lifelong career. People that you deal with, the networking, everyone is very knowledgeable. And that's something that you hear from going to all of these IREM events. We went to one recently that was the wine tasting, and it was a fantastic time. Everybody always says what a great group of people everybody is. Everybody has the same interests at mine, and it's always fun to exchange a story or two with each other.
Absolutely. And one of the things I've always liked about the industry is, you know, again, it's just getting to do all different things. You know, one day you may be dealing with the physical aspects of a building, you know, dealing with windows and roofs and learning about building systems. And the next day you're doing something a little bit more business oriented where you're, you know, studying the financials or, you know, projecting out, you know, for a budget or
the sales part of it or,
exactly.
You know, and dealing with your leasers if you have that big of a company where you have to lease the unit or, you know, just even dealing with the vendors. And speaking of vendors, we have a lot of IREM friends, the friends of IREM, and they are here. They also support IREM.
They do. Yes. And it's amazing how many of them actually come to the different IREM events and make their presence known. They're very supportive of what we do in the industry. And it's great because it's mutually beneficial.
Right.
When something
goes wrong on the property.
How many times when I'm in need of, you know, a fresh set of eyes or a vendor or a contractor for a different project that I've had on a property, one of the first things I think of is, okay, let me just see if there's a friend of IREM out there that I can refer. And the same thing goes for different vendors that I've used over the years in the various properties that I've managed. I've always encouraged them, hey, check this out. It's a great opportunity to network with other management companies, other property managers, especially the smaller vendors.
Right.
What a great way to get your name out there without having to spend a lot of money on advertising.
We have a ton of friends of IREM. I mean, we have anything from restoration to, extermination.
Absolutely.
Exterminators to lawyers to website design. I mean, there's a plethora of friends of IREM, and we do have quite a few of them on the show and booked for some of our future shows that are coming up next week. We actually have Frank Flynn from Flynn Law Associates that's going to be calling in to answer and discuss some of some different issues.
Right.
So we were just talking about non-smoking and the non-smoking policy that you've rolled out.
Yes.
Now, a year into this.
Right.
So
it's been about a year now, certainly a year since we've unveiled the program. It's not quite a year since our properties have, quote unquote, gone live. But now we're kind of coming into phase two. It's amazing because actually I was just speaking to someone yesterday, a resident at one of our developments, and she came in and I had read this statistic and I didn't really know if I believed it at first, but after speaking to this woman, I felt really great. One of the statistics that HUD puts out is they say in residential communities that have gone smoke-free, the average quit rate after going smoke-free is about 14% compared to a typical quit rate of anywhere from 2 to 3%.
Wow, that's huge.
So
that's a huge difference.
They say that the inspiration...
They don't
inspiration,
want to go outside to the 50 feet. Maybe that's what it is. They don't want to go out to the hut.
It might be the aggravation factor, or maybe this is just that other push that they need to give it another try, to try to quit, to get healthier for themselves. And like I said, a resident came in yesterday, and I hadn't seen her in the past year, but she remembered me from the initial meeting. And she came in to report that she was 7 months smoke-free. She used the patch, and she was so proud of herself. She was glowing.
Yes.
And it was great. And I said,
that's fantastic. You're making people's lives better.
Our decision to do this helped her to make that decision for herself, which was fantastic. But now, fast forward, we're in it about a year. Now we're kind of at the point now we have identified people who are just willingly or willfully not complying. So we're obviously dealing with that, from a legal perspective, which we have a very concise policy on. And of course, we work with our attorneys. But now we're actually getting to the point where we're identifying those units that have the smoking residue from the past. And we're moving forward, of course, within the constraints of our operating budgets, to remove this existing smoke damage. This is going to not only, again, improve the indoor air quality of the building, but it's also going to help the management deal with future violations because now they've got freshly repainted walls, maybe they've got new flooring, whatever the case may be.
It's not an issue at all, even if it was an issue previously, removing all of that.
Exactly. And in fact, some folks have even come into our office and they've said, I really am going to give this a good try. It would be great if you would help me. And, are you willing to do some work in the apartment? And, if the budget allows, we try to meet them halfway. One of the things that I really kind of strive and stress with the managers is be available to talk to your residents, whether it's a positive conversation or a not so friendly conversation. If you need to be direct, be available, listen to the complaints, be honest with the people who are complaining about their neighbors, about the reality of what you may or may not be able to do from an enforcement standpoint. Even though this policy is in place, you still cannot guarantee someone that they will have a 100% smoke-free environment.
Right.
It may happen. How we respond to it is the key. So be available, be open, listen to your residents, but at the same time, make sure that your team knows that they can't just turn a blind eye to the violations. If they see it, they need to hold them accountable and follow your policy to a T.
I think it's always very important to have even just frank conversations with tenants, whether it be positive or negative, because if you're just being honest with everything, then it's all out in the air, and that way...
That's it. You can have a difficult conversation and still have the resident leave feeling that you were respectful, clear, and, mm-hmm. and honest with them. And
right.
at the end of the
and
day...
fair.
Yeah, that's it. It's all about fairness. So, just having gone through this now, our subsidized division in Rhode Island was kind of the guinea pig for our organization. We're now rolling out the policy that we've developed throughout the rest of the country in our organization. I'm more than happy to speak to anyone who's out there who's thinking about implementing a no-smoking policy. I'd be happy to share my email address.
Yeah, how would they contact you?
Yeah, if you just want to email me, my email is rserpa, S-E-R-P-A. At Picerne, PICERNERI.com. I'd be happy to share, some of the documents that we've created or some tips or tricks or challenges that we've faced over the past year. It's been a really interesting process.
Yeah, and you are the hub to go to if anybody has any questions on this, because you have heard it all probably. And only because we've spoken about this previously, do you, when there's violations, If you're taking people to court over yes. maybe non-smoking issues, do you have to send them a non-waiver letter even when they pay the rent?
You do. Yeah, it's very important. You know, and a lot of people might not realize this. If you're familiar with the legal process, and certainly this is state specific, but speaking specifically here in Rhode Island. Many people are aware if you have an active legal action for non-payment of rent. I'm sure you're familiar with the non-waiver letter that must be sent in order for your action to continue if they make a partial payment. That same non-waiver letter applies to any non-compliance matter. It's important not to get tripped up on that because your case that you've worked so hard to put together might fall apart if you miss that step. So certainly speak with your attorney, get some good legal advice on how to best build your case. And I always try to explain to both the residents and the management, it's just like any other legal case. You need to present the evidence to the judge, and you're basically asking a judge to potentially put someone out of their home. So you better have a good case. Witness statements, documentation, and that way it's fair. You can put your head on your pillow at night knowing that you've exhausted your efforts to give them every opportunity to comply. And at the end of the day, if they don't, you have a really good case to show what you've done, how you've tried to allow them to retain their residency. And sometimes you have to make a difficult decision.
Right. I mean, we're not in the business of putting people out of their homes by any means, but sometimes, unfortunately, if it's a problem like that or any kind of problem, it's better to lose one tenant over all right. surrounding tenants.
And you have an obligation to the other people in the building to address the issue right. and see it through to a resolution.
On the heels of speaking about violations and non-compliance issues, hoarding has been a topic in the property management field for a little while now. What types of situations have you experienced with this subject?
Sure. You know, when it comes to different types of violations other than smoking, you know, we deal with housekeeping issues regularly in both conventional, affordable, you know, it doesn't matter the type of housing. And certainly the issue of hoarding comes up regularly. I definitely have some thoughts on the process, and we have had some successes in really working with residents with the goal of retaining their housing. That's really where you need to come from to try to show folks that your goal is to help them to get to a point where they can stay in their apartment in a very safe and habitable way. Unfortunately, it's not always the case. So there are some techniques and strategies that we've implemented that I'd be happy to talk about after the break.
Yeah, yeah. You're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show. We'll be right back right after this. All right, 4:49 here on IREM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my guest co-host, Ron Serpa.
The time is flying.
I know. We were worried about time.
I said, how are we going to talk for 1 hour?
About,
and it just flew.
About non-smoking, no less, or hoarding. But we were talking, did get a little bit into the hoarding issues that have come
yes.
to play in
yes.
property management. And what type of procedures do you think are important when talking about...
Absolutely. You know, in my experience in working with different property managers at different properties, one of the things that I would say is consistency. It's so important to be consistent and, of course, have your documentation ready. One of the things that I always try to stress with my property managers is you need to start the process when you've identified an issue from a compassionate place. You need to really explain to the resident that your goal is to help them to be successful so that they can retain their housing. Again, we mentioned earlier, we don't want to be in the business of putting people out of their homes. Unfortunately,
sometimes
you have to deal with these issues. So, you know, I always really try to be sure that at the end of the day, when I'm reviewing this matter in the tenant file, I can see that it started off from a very compassionate, very sincere place in wanting this person to succeed.
Right.
At some point in time, they're not meeting their obligations, so you now need to take it one step further. And just like any other legal matter, you need to have your documentation in place. One of the things that I've seen that's gone wrong in many different cases is, you know, a period of time will go by. It seems as though things might have gotten a little bit better, or maybe they just fell off your radar. A year later, you're back in that unit.
Different management.
Management change. It's even worse than it was before. And then maybe your owner is saying, hey, how did this fall through the cracks? So you really have to put the onus on yourself and your staff to follow up, stay consistent, and document. Take photos of each and every visit to the apartment and make sure that they're date stamped so that way you have good evidence going back in time. One of the things that we've done is, you know, when we have a chronic situation, you know, maybe it's monthly inspections of the unit, or in the very severe cases, biweekly inspections with very reasonable, attainable goals in between inspections. I had one tenant one time where the goal was one bag a day, and that was all she could mentally handle that she could actually be successful
in
do.
When you think about it, after a month, that's 30
it's
bags, 31 bags.
It's significant. So, you know, we always kind of keep a timeline of the different dates of the inspections and the result or the findings during that inspection.
I think it's important to take pictures, too,
pictures
for documentation.
Are a must. Yes.
I think, you know, putting pen to paper is only, there's only so much you can do. But
exactly.
The pictures, I feel like I've gone through a couple of different cases with this, and I feel like we did buy... I think it was biweekly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not biweekly. Every other week we would do inspections.
Yeah.
And just taking pictures. And if it's the same problem week after week after week, you know, then you know that they're not making any effort. And trying to work with them on maybe making a list of, you know, different movers that can help them, different
exactly.
hoarding companies that
yes.
can help specialists.
And you need to be upfront and honest. And you know, sometimes the conversation has to be, listen, it's time to call in the resources. Call your friends. Call your family. This is serious. Your housing is in jeopardy here. But if you're documenting properly, you've got a good timeline. I mean, with the hectic pace of your office, I'm sure everyone is very busy. You might think to yourself, oh, I'll remember. No, you won't. 6 months later or 8 months later, you're not going to remember exactly what the condition was at that time. So if you have good photos with good notes about what happened at each and every visit, after the, you know, period of time that you're working with that person, you'll be able to go back, review your notes, and if you have to make the difficult decision to pursue an eviction, again, with confidence, you can present the evidence that you have to a judge, hopefully be successful, and know that you gave this person every opportunity to retain their housing and they just didn't get it done.
Right. I feel like if you have that documentation, you have those photos week after week after week of maybe the same thing, the same pile, the same, you know, it looks better for your case, the more evidence that you have. And if you have the pictures where you're not seeing much progress month after month and week after week.
Exactly. You can't just turn a blind eye to it and say, oh, that's just the way they are. If your standards are better, you need to hold them to your standard and be confident in what that is. You owe it to the other people who live in the building. You owe it to the owners of the property and you know, everyone involved.
Well, this is wonderful information. I think our listeners have learned a lot today as far as the non-smoking issue, as far as hoarding issues. I think you've been a very informative guest, and I really want to thank you, Ron, for being on today and helping co-host with me, because I needed somebody. I needed somebody else here. I didn't want to talk to myself this whole hour.
We've worked together for a long time. I'm happy to help anytime.
So while we're talking, there's a couple of different IREM events that are going on that might be some fun ones for
Absolutely.
Some people.
Yeah, and I think we have some new ARMs coming up too.
Yes. So I think the first one is the Trends in the Real Estate Industry. That's on March 8th, and special guest speaker Chris Millen, who is actually my ARM teacher. So
Excellent.
And he is the president of IREM, or was last year. Now, somebody else, I think, now.
Yeah.
But it's going to be at 1149 Restaurant, and that's in Warwick.
Yeah, you don't need to twist my arm to go to brunch at 1149.
It's at 8:15 a.m. Prices range for guests that are non-members or ARMs, it's CPMs. It's anywhere from $35 to $45.
Yeah, depending on your membership.
Depending on your membership. Mm-hmm. Registration closes on Wednesday, March 1st. But you can always give Karen a call. Karen is our association executive once again, and she'll probably help squeeze you in if you're not willing to register by March 1st. You can give her a call, 401-479-7734, or you can register right on the iremri.org website. And that one, we have a couple of different PASERN people that are actually
yeah.
getting their
ARMs. A few of my folks are going to be getting their ARM designation, which is always exciting. I love to see the people who have taken the educational opportunities seriously and they've invested in their careers by obtaining these designations, and it's always great to see them see it through to completion and actually get the designation.
And then the next event that's going on that's kind of close is the Boot Camp for Property Managers, and that's on March 14th. That is going to be at 12 Acres. And that's in Smithfield. It's a half-day training. It's going to be with a couple of attorneys, Jeff Turk and Michael Michael Clinton. Topics will include tenant screening, understanding your lease, and other legal mumbo jumbo.
Yes.
Discrimination in fair housing, the do's and don'ts of accepting deposits, effective dispute resolution, evictions 101. We love to talk about those. How to deal with drugs, criminal activity, and generally nasty tenants.
Yes, this is really a good training to go to for people who might be new to the industry, might be new to the business, or maybe an entry-level person who's now moving up, taking on a little bit more responsibility. It's just a little bit of everything with regards to the industry, so it's really going to be helpful.
I think it will be helpful, and they're talking about how to win your course how to win your case in court every time, guaranteed. If you've missed anything on our show, you can always subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for IRAM Today. You can listen to the podcast on our website at iramri.org. You can always call Karen for any event that we've talked about, or getting your ARM or CPM designation. You can give her a call at, once again, 401-479-7734. That will do it for today. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to IRAM Today.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
This episode of IRAM Today is brought to you by RentPath, digital marketing solutions for the rental industry. Call a marketing professional locally at 401-297-5316 or visit them online at rentpath.com. RentPath, take the most powerful path.